How nice. I'm just walking through the little restaurant on the first floor. And it's a beautiful day outside. Out the door, into Tokyo. I couldn't tell because there's like a little window, sort of, kind of, in my Airbnb room. But I think it's just like a balcony that is exactly pressed up against the next building. So it always looks kind of dim, and I'm always afraid, like, uh-oh, does that mean it's overcast? And then as I was walking down the steps, again, there's like a window, but it's, I don't know why there's a window, because it's like 1 inch to the wall of the next building. But I was like peering over and staring through and like, can I see sunlight through there? What's going on out there? But there's just no way to know. I checked a little weather website and it claimed sunniness, but I mean, I don't know, I feel like that shit's pretty unreliable. Their idea of a little sunshine graphic is pretty variable, but it turns out it's yet another beautiful day. What day is it even? I'm really losing track. December 17th. See, that's one weird little thing I hadn't really thought of too hard, is where I was staying during Christmas, because I mean, I don't really care about Christmas. I just wanted to do like, yeah, cool, I'll do a Tokyo Christmas. And I was like, maybe, what if? I know it snows in Tokyo sometimes, it's happened before. But yeah, no, it's insanely warm, insanely beautiful. So I'm gonna be in this little communal Airbnb for Christmas. And I was like, I guess that's a little weird. But I do think that's kind of better, because right after this, I'm going to like a little guest house that's like attached to a normal house out west. Just kind of living like in the side part of a house that some family owns, and then we gotta share the washroom. And I think that'd be kind of worse, because like that's what I don't want. I don't want an awkward, weird Christmas around some other family. That feels weird to me. Yeah, Christmas all by myself walking around Tokyo? No problem. No problem. Socially awkward Christmas, where somebody might feel like they gotta acts Christmassy around me. That would be bad. Not that anybody takes Christmas too seriously around here. It's just, you know, lights and some music. And then apparently it's like the 24th is the day. The 25th is the day they tear up all the fucking Christmas shit. So, but yeah, I guess I was thinking like, oh man, I can't believe I booked this place for Christmas. What was I thinking? But I was thinking that when I had all the crazy snorers, really is just truly weird how when I first got there, just a bunch of people snoring like crazy, one of them in particular, but all of them kind of, everyone but Daniel from Canada. And now it's like a monastery, it's so quiet, it's crazy. I'm like, are you people even alive? Have you died? Here we go, the 100 yen star vending machine. Star vending machine with the brown sugar latte to start off the day. Don't mind if I do. Man, it'd be terrible if I ran out of coins. I happen to be at the point where I ran out of 1,000 yen bills, because these machines can also take bills, but I've only got hundreds and fifties, no tens left. So I'm gonna have to break the 50 next time I'm buying something. But yeah, the one little thing is very tiny, but just a little thing I noticed. We've got to let this cool down, it's so hot. This is more of a minor quirk with whoever's sleeping underneath me now, but I just think it is funny, is that they're into cologne, this person. And they have like their weird little bag of toiletries that was in the shower. And I was like, did someone piss in here? What is this? But no, it's just a weird perfumey smell of something. And it's just like, ugh, I don't know why you like this anyway. But it's one thing, you know, when you get up in the morning and you're heading out in the world and you've decided that the cologne life is the life for you, the perfumed life. They're like, okay, different strokes for different folks, whatever. I put on deodorant, that's it. That's all I got. And I mean, that kind of thing, I guess, if you're very careful with it, if you're very subtle with it, I guess it can be kind of nice. But what I really don't get is this guy, last night, he hops in the shower. And it's like, you just took a shower. There you go. You did it. You're all clean. Everything's great. And then he just put on a bunch of, like, cologne shit before he went to bed. I mean, maybe it was aftershave, which I guess that at least has like a purpose. Where like if you nicked yourself shaving or whatever, the alcohol soothes the burn. But even if that is the case, he still put on way too much. And I don't think so, because this was like powerful. And it's like, dude, why would you do that? You're just going to bed. Like, perfume is not cleanliness, you know? You just made yourself unclean. You just took a shower and then you put a bunch of crap on yourself before you go to bed? What a weird thing to do. Why would you do that? I mean, it's probably just culturally or whatever, just never thought about it, just always did that, but it doesn't make any goddamn sense. And yeah, like I could smell this shit. Dude, it's like suddenly, I guess because like we're each in a bunk with little curtains around them, it's kind of like that smell, the only place it could go was up to me. And it didn't last long, but man, it was mad powerful. And it's just like, I feel like you've never thought about why you're doing this, my lad, but it's fucking weird. You don't need cologne to go to bed, dude. All right, star vending, brown sugar latte time. Ooh, it's powerful sweet. Yeah, so even though mixing this with a black coffee yesterday was actually really good, I just don't want that much coffee in me today. I don't want that much liquid. I'm not desperately trying to wake myself up today, so just take this little sugar blast in the morning. I do think too, I mean, this is kind of good. It does definitely taste different from a normal sugared coffee. But it is, I mean, there's clearly something going on here where I just want to find the thing that's harder to find. The fact that this is only in one machine, I did see one other star vending machine actually, somewhere on the way to Tokyo Bay yesterday. But it's pretty hard to find. And that obviously tickles my fucking dick. So since I've been going on all these wild exploratory adventures in Japan day after day after day, but my shoulders in particular, they've been barking because I've been dragging my laptop around and it's catching up to me. I thought I might yammer a bit about, instead of just exploring around, as great as that is, that it's also kind of awesome to not, like, to just settle into a neighborhood and be like, yeah, this place is kind of cool. Because I was thinking, like, that's why I have such fondness for that walk from Nakaitabashi to Oji Station and then over to Ikebukuro. I mean, it's beautiful for one thing. That river, the Shikuji River, is awesome. But it's also because the first 40 days I was in Japan, I was just there. So I didn't necessarily go off on a big exploratory adventure every time. I actually did that a lot less than I've done this time. I still did plenty of it, but a lot of days were just walking around there. So it's just like, yeah, this is the hood. This is the neighborhood. 40 days is enough time to get like this weird feeling that like this is your life now, you know? That old life was but a dream. But then the reverse happens once you leave, and then especially after COVID and stuff, it really started to seem, because it was only a month, like that Oji Station walk, like that was the dream. Like, did that really happen? Was that really real? But I was there every day. It was definitely a thing, but it just started to feel like otherworldly and super cool. So, I mean, it's kind of cool in both ways. It's cool to see something that you only saw once, because it'll really stick in your mind in that way, because it's like, whoa, that was nuts, and I only saw it once. I don't know, like a crazy view or a big waterfall or something intense. But then there's the stuff you settle into, and it really just, like, sinks into your brain. And I already feel like I don't quite know what I'm talking about. Maybe I won't try to explain overly. I mean, it's not a deep concept, right? It's just neighborhoods. You get to know a place. It's kind of cool and fun. Gee, speaking of, I met that museum already. I didn't realize it was this close. I knew it was. But yeah, there was that. And similarly, the walk in Fukuoka from Umebayashi Station up the mountain to the observation deck, Again, beautiful walk. It is awesome in and of itself. But because I was right there for 3 weeks and I just did that all the time over and over, even though half of that neighborhood involved being in the woods and being on a mountain, that was still like the hood. That was my neighborhood. That was where I hung out all the time. So I was like, yeah, that place is cool. And I was definitely starting to develop a thing like that in Dazaifu for sure. You know, that was just like my natural inclination. It was so close to my Airbnb. Just go a couple stops on the train, go to best convenience system, and then pick a mountain, you know? That one didn't really have a chance to develop because I wasn't there long enough, but it was coming, it was developing. So today I was looking around at maps and stuff, and I'm like, what could I do? Where could I go? What direction could I wander in? But then I kind of realized, like, you know, I think that's kind of happening in this neighborhood too. Like, I don't need to be walking around all crazy, and especially when I need to just let my body recuperate a bit. My mind just started wandering through this neighborhood. I'm like, what if I did what I just did? What if I just wander down to the Star vending machine, get myself a brown sugar latte, and then I moseyed over to 7-Eleven to see if they had soy ginger mackerel, and they did not. But I'm like, all right, that's cool though, because that was what I was kind of thinking, is if I find one of those as I walk, I mean, I just can't deny it, it's so good. But if not, I'll just mosey over this way, past the museum like I just did, and then a little further on here is the Daily Yamazaki with its own bakery. Get some like curry bread and stuff, I'll eat that instead. And then I could just mosey down to the river. Because, you know, I'm always also talking shit about the rivers in Tokyo and how they're so little, and I wouldn't call them a river. The Sumida I would call a river. I think it might still not be quite as big as the St. John River I grew up on, but it's about as big. It's similar. It's big. It feels like a river. Actually, it's definitely smaller now that I think about it. But it's still big. And I was thinking, like, yesterday when I bailed out of my trip to Tokyo Bay, and I was like, get me out of here. And then where I just wanted to go back to is like, yeah, just take me to the Sumida, take me to the river and all the little rivers that come off of it and all the little islands and stuff. I'm like, yeah, that's the place I wanted to be. That felt good. Just strolling home through that. It's like, this is the stuff. So I was like, yeah, I could do that today. Go to the Star vending machine, go to the Daily Yamazaki / get mackerel at 7-Eleven, whichever one works out. It's looking like Daily Yamazaki, unless a 7-Eleven comes through clutch at the last moment. I can head down to the riverbank and just sit on one of the benches there. It's like a teeny bit chilly today. I think the website said it's 13 degrees. It's a little bit windy, and it's going to get even windier when I'm down there. But still, certainly not bad. Not bad for December 17th. And yeah, I can just chill in this neighborhood because I like it. I'm coming to very much like it. I've also kind of been looking for my bags within bags theory is definitely the main discovery I've made this trip, because I just had my one bag and in it was a second bag that I bought at Oyama Road back in 2019, and then everything else was just piled in there. Where this time I got my main bag, I got my Osprey bag that I put my clothes in, or right now it's just my laptop. I got my OG Station bag, which is just mostly stuff I rarely need, like a mouse for my computer and my birth certificate and just whatever. Stuff I do need, but not immediately. Oh shit, there's Daily Yamazaki. Change course. It's a block away. And then I bought this day bag at Oyama Road again. And I mean, this thing is just great. I don't know what I did before. I guess I just had all my stuff in my pockets. I do have a lot of pockets, but it's a lot more convenient just having it here. And then I bought a little pouch from a thrift store when I was in Montreal, but it's just kind of an ugly little pencil case thing. Oh, I got that too. I got a pencil case to put my shaving stuff in. But I realized even in this day bag, within the day bag, I needed another little bag because I've just got, you know, like a charger for like a portable battery and cords and stuff to charge my phones and things, which I just conveniently did by accident. I did that properly when I was checking my bag for the flight from Fukuoka. Maybe I said this then, but you're not allowed to put that stuff in a checked bag, like a little portable battery, because I guess they can, I don't know, catch on fire, blow up or something. You got to keep them on your person, and I had them already on my person. I was like, oh, convenient, I did it right. But yeah, just having all these little cords and stuff kicking around in my little day bag when I don't usually need them. If I do, it's not till the end of the day. It's like, yeah, these things are kind of getting in the way of just whatever else is in there. Dental floss and cough drops. This recorder that I'm using right now. So I just took my little ugly bag from Montreal, my boring little ugly bag, and just put my stuff in it. But I always had my eyes peeled for a cooler bag. And I found one in this little neighborhood right by here. I was just walking by a shop and it had all these really cool bags. And this one has, it's like a little fabric bag with, it's like rabbits mostly and an occasional frog design. But it's like they're in black and it's a dark gray bag. I don't know, it just looks really cool. Oh my God, speak of the devil. See, that's what I mean about just little neighborhoods. Because I was just going to explain, like, as I went in, this was out front, and then I went in to look at the shop proper to see if there's anything else in there, and inside was mostly more expensive stuff, fabrics and things, and it was a yukata, I think it's called, a yukata shop. It's like a kimono shop, but not quite kimonos, but they were fitting somebody, or maybe it was kimonos also. But it was two ladies fitting a third lady, and then they had a younger girl come out to sell me this bag, which was like $9, $8 maybe. So it was like a total girl shop. It was a shop to get dressed in a cool, fancy yukata dress. And I was thinking like, oh, that's kind of appropriate that just the bag that finally caught my eye happens to be from a store where they don't sell things for men. Because I noticed that at one of those Second Street stores in Fukuoka also. I was in the part where they were just selling like purses and stuff for women, and there was this wallet that looked so cool. It was, you know, girly as all get out, but I was like, that thing is great, but what would I ever do with it? So this was a nice middle where it's like, oh, this is also a really cool bag, and I actually do need a bag. And I don't know, it's like a little, it's like, yeah, that checks out. Like, I love reading romance comics, and I like that visual style. I don't know, I think stuff for guys is not very good to speak broadly. In a visual sense. I mean, like, I watch pro wrestling, but it's not visually appealing. It looks ridiculous, you know? Movies for guys, comics for guys, anything for guys is probably visually unappealing. So I was just like, wow, good job, subconscious. You nailed it on that one. But anyway, the older lady who ran the place just walked by. And it's like, ah, yeah, the hood. The hood where no one knows me and I don't know anyone, but... In my own weird way, I feel like, yeah, I'm getting used to this hood. I like it. So maybe that's what I'll do today. I don't need to walk real far. I'll just go to the river. Maybe because I grew up on a river too, but I just like that river. Who needs to go somewhere else? I don't need to go find another thing. Yesterday's adventure to Tokyo Bay was just so lame. And then it's like, oh yeah, but I've got the river right here. I had the real adventure in front of me all along. Anyway, I'm right in front of Daily Yamazaki, so I'm going to stop talking to myself. I'm going to go get some curry bread and stuff. Oh, yeah, and I got to break the 50. Whoops. Whoops. I guess I'm just going to have to buy way too much shit. Because, again, nobody cares. No one thinks a 50 is a lot in this country. But to me, I'm like, oh, if I'm going to break the bill, I, you know, should really make it worthwhile. So I don't want to empty their cash register. I don't want to take all their change. All this stuff is mildly true in Canada. Not here, but fuck it. I'm gonna buy everything in the world. How about that? So I got a curry bread, and they have a lot of French toast stuff there. So I'm like, let me try one of these French toast pieces. But it wasn't amazing. Kind of a lot of bread in the French toast. But and I got the little salty butter bun thing that's super delicious. And then it's like, all right, I'll get a coffee from the little hot coffee section. And then I'm still trying to buy everything in the world. So I'm like, I don't know, get one of these vitamin C drinks, I guess. At this point, I like can't really hold more stuff. My hands are full of stuff. And it still only came to $7. I'm like, okay, so I didn't really, you know, take a big chunk out of the 50. But I did my best. I just can't spend a lot of money. It's impossible. But yeah, that brought back some memories of my coffee shop days where you'd start the day with just so much money in the till. It's like $260-some maybe in various coins and such. And then all day long, everybody, you know, occasionally someone would pay in coins if they're buying just one coffee. But it's just 20s. Just 20s. And it was weird because eventually you just run out of like change to give back to people. We had two different cash registers. You'd like be making change from one register to the other and all this shit. But that was mid-2000s. My next coffee shop job, 10 years after that, it was mainly just cards already. And now with COVID especially, super cards. Super card of honor. But yeah, I walked past the Yukata shop and then I just started looking a little more closely at the other stores. And like there's a store with traditional Japanese sweets, mochi and stuff. And then there was one that was like a cafe that specialized in honey. They had some kind of weird pun. What was it now? I don't know, something about bee friendship. I don't even think it was a pun. I think it was just B-E-E friendship on their sign. I don't know. Anyway, I was thinking it'd be cool because there's a lot of, day in the life type videos or here's how this store works type videos. I guess not a lot, actually. It's almost all just Paolo from Tokyo. But he does such a good job, just really awesome, of just getting in behind the scenes of Japanese businesses and little stores and stuff. And I was thinking how cool it would be to do that for just a neighborhood. What if you just picked, say, this neighborhood and just, like, did a series of videos chronicling every single shop? That'd be fucking cool. Definitely something to be said for just the neighborhood. There's this video game series called Yakuza. I think they changed the name recently to Like a Dragon because obviously the name Yakuza references the Yakuza, the Japanese mafia. But there's this one neighborhood, Kabukicho, which I've got to go to eventually. Oh, there's some ladies in yukatas, man. I mean, I guess it makes sense. If you're in the fucking neighborhood with the cool shop, you're going to see a lot more people dressed traditionally. But the whole game takes place, not only the game, but like a series of games takes place almost entirely in this one neighborhood. And it's based on this neighborhood called Kabukicho, which I do have to go to at some point. It's probably not that far from here now that I've realized everything is fucking closer than I think it is. But it's a really neat concept where you just really drill down on this one neighborhood. But it's the opposite of slice of life. It's like wacky, over-the-top, crazy shit. Then there's an older game by the same company, by Sega, called Shenmue that I never played, but it's like the super slow version of that. It's this neighborhood called Dobuita, I think. I should be able to get there when I go to Yokohama. Should be right by there. But, I never actually played the game. I've just seen a lot about it over the years. So it might not be especially meaningful to me to go to the real place, but I'm still going to do it. It'll just be kind of cool. The game's set in the 80s as well. But it's also just a thing where you just walk around and really get to know the neighborhood and you just soak in that one specific area, at least in the first Shenmue. But that neighborhood feeling is definitely not something you get so much in North America. Here's another. Everyone in it is dressed very traditionally. I'm not sure what they sell. There's sake in there, but there's also, I don't know, just like stuff I can't identify. I don't know what these objects are. But there's definitely like handkerchief-looking stuff, like weird. I don't know. Why even bother? I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't know what I'm looking at. But yeah, like there was the mom and pop shop I went to the other day. Just all this little cool stuff. I guess the one place that kind of had this feeling was if you go to certain parts of Manhattan, you do get that vibe a bit of a cool little neighborhood. But it's cool. It's just a cool vibe. It's actually kind of appropriate that the second I said it's a cool vibe and you hear the loud motorcycles, vroom vroom, because this also feels very much like how in Yakuza there's very distinct borders to the neighborhood. Once you get to the major streets, the game is just like, nah, you're not crossing that street. Take a gander at all the cars, but that's as far as this game is going. We're not going over there. And yeah, that feels this way here as well, where this street, this is the bigger street, and it's like, all right, now there's traffic, now there's noise. Once you cross this street, you're leaving the zone. You're outside of the neighborhood. But I gotta leave the zone, I gotta pass through, because I gotta get to the river. Man, sitting is the new smoking, my dogs. I figured the wind might make it a little cold down by down by the river, because it's just that feeling's in the air a little bit. This is not one of those like just sweat your dick off days like it's been lately. So there's this nice park on the way to the river with quite a few people there today, just kind of looking at leaves, looking at the fall leaves, which are still like weirdly, again, like in Canada, it's just like, whoops, everything's dead. Where here it's still pretty gentle, a pretty gentle smattering of fall colors, but it is nice. Oh, here we go, entrance to the river. So I sat there. Yeah, my prediction was right. This is pretty windy here on the old Sumida today. But man, just sitting on that little bench, I noticed after a while that I was kind of hunched. But it was like, how am I supposed to sit here without having terrible posture and hunching over? I don't know. It's like very hard to hold yourself rigid the whole time. And then when I did finally get up and start walking, my dang knee hurts. Not from walking, but from sitting. It's like, man, sitting is rough. It's so weird. I mean, obviously I've been complaining about my shoulders and stuff. Walking has its own issues. But sitting is just like, woo. I'm surprised that sitting there for an hour and whatever, an hour and some, kind of messed me up so fast. My knee feels really bad. Well, it's kind of nice down here though. It is sort of windy, but there's more direct sunlight down here. It's 3 o'clock. See, I got at least another hour and a half of pretty decent daytime before it starts getting a little suspect out here. I think I'm just gonna walk down the river and just see what happens. I definitely want to dick around long enough that when I come back, the lights are on. And I noticed too, I don't know, it's just weird where I was like, I really should be careful with my laundry since I've just got it crammed in my bag and I just got my one little bunk. It's a little harder to keep inventory of my stuff. And it's like, oh darn, only one more pair of socks. I'm not sure how that happened. One pair of socks and then just one stray sock. Like, what the heck? How did I use one sock? I have no fucking idea what happened there. Thinking back, I'm like, no, I definitely did not use any socks as toilet paper in the recent past. I just don't know. But it's like, oh, geez, maybe I gotta do laundry tomorrow. I only got one more pair of socks. But again, I don't know why, but I'm not out of shirts yet. Anyway, I think my plan now is to try to find a 7-Eleven that has the delicious ginger soy mackerel and buy a pair of socks from there. Because I realized I don't have to do laundry tomorrow. If I got the other pieces of the wardrobe, which is just underwear and shirt, you know, and if I just buy a pair of socks, then I got at least one extra day. What I should really do is I should try to hit the perfect equilibrium. Why don't I just have the same number of socks, underwear, and shirts? Like, wouldn't that make sense? So it's very easy to bring socks into equilibrium. But shirts, for some reason, underwear is what I have the most of. So maybe that's a thing I should be looking for. I gotta figure out how many shirts short I am, and then that would give me something to look for when I'm out and about, is I could buy some shirts. Now, I guess there is a limit to how many shirts I can buy because I only have so much space, but surely if I buy another like couple shirts or whatever, surely I can figure out a way. I mean, worst case scenario, on travel days, I could just wear, I'm already wearing two pairs of pants on those days. I could wear two shirts. I don't know, whatever. But yes, really is. I mean, I'm already missing Fukuoka a little bit of like, I do kind of miss just hiking into the woods and heading up a mountain. I mean, you can't really beat that. But as far as the city side of Japan goes, this is really all I want. I'm walking down a beautiful river. Now that I'm here too, by the way, yeah, this is much smaller than the St. John River. The St. John River is a monster. The thing is fucking gigantic, the river I grew up on. But I'm walking down the nice river, and my future plans involve 7-Eleven, where I can get a delicious mackerel dish, some kind of cool cheesecake-based dessert, get a coffee, and buy a pair of socks. Like, what else could a man want? What else could a person need in this life? And I am starting to get more comfortable at the Airbnb. Especially, you know, if I do just hold on until people are asleep, I really don't think I'm waking them up. People do tend to clomp around quite a bit, but I don't know, it's one of those things I haven't thought about in a long time. But people did used to comment when I was younger about me sneaking up on them and stuff, you know? Like, I just don't like clomping around the house. Or, I mean, I grew up in a gigantic old 100-year-old house, like a big 3-story house. So there'd be so much like, hey, Keith, hey, here's what, blah, 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 whatever's going on. And I would never yell back, never. I would always just go walk to where the other person was and be like, what's up now? What is this you need? No one ever noticed, though. No one ever took my lead. But yeah, even though I kind of wish I was on the bottom bunk, because it's much easier to slip out the bottom bunk without rattling stuff. As it is, since I'm on the top, I do have to sneakily sneak out, delicately climb down the ladder without waking people up. But I think I can do it. I think I'm pretty good at it. Because the idea that I'd be responsible for waking people up makes me feel very bad. And if it happened once, that'd be one thing. But if I gorge myself on coffee, it's gonna happen like 3 times. And that really is unacceptable, unneighborly behavior. But I can certainly get one more coffee in me. Oh, this is so pretty. I love this part. Like, this is what happened the other day, how I found the cool spot. Tsukishima, I think the station was called. But the cool spot where you can see both towers is because this part, as you're walking down the Sumida and it splits, there's this island in the middle. It splits off one way and splits off the other, and it's just fucking gorgeous, dude. It's so fucking awesome looking. I tested those codes, by the way, the little weird code that Google Maps gives you and the coordinates. And yeah, in either case, you just type them in. You just type them into the search part of the map and bingity bam, ding dang doon, there you are. There's the spot where you can see both the towers. Of course, if I'm down here by the side of the water, this is obviously the nicer walk, but there's no 7-Elevens down here. I'm gonna have to venture back up there, but not yet. For now, I'm just gonna keep walking. Instead of heading over to that cool little island, I'm gonna stay on this side and see what happens, because yeah, that walk to Tokyo Bay direct was a fairly intense amount of traffic. I don't wonder how far you could walk along the edge of the river. It seems like not actually that much further. It looks like you do have to kind of bail out and hop over to one of the little islands. And then yeah, it turns into all the little islands and the team labs and whatever, whatever. But still, if you were gonna walk, indisputably a better idea than just taking the major trucking route straight down, as I tried to do. Well, it looks like the other day when I came over here to this little Tsukishima little island, it was not a coincidence, because it turns out that the shoreline gets very inaccessible on the other side of the Sumida. Some kind of big, you know, industrial concern of one kind or another. So you kind of have to come over here. So I thought, let's just explore the next island over. And I think if I go 2 islands over, I believe that's where the Tokyo Team Labs thing is, which is like some kind of big, you know, visual arts thing. You know, you go see and it's like crazy lights and it's apparently really cool. But if I remember right, I think there's like a part where you gotta roll up your pant legs and walk through water and they reflect stuff. As it gets cold, that doesn't really feel like the kind of thing I want to do. And just in general, it's like the kind of thing that is like, if I was here with somebody, it's just like a touristy thing to do for an afternoon. Yeah, maybe, why not? But by myself, I don't know. I don't think so. It feels kind of weird. And this is cool. So I'm just going across the bridge and now it's coming down onto the other island. And immediately I can see in the distance, not in the distance, it's like right there, 2 more bridges heading over, possibly back to the kind of mainland part that I started on, or maybe that's yet another thing, I don't know. But this is just such a weird, neat part of Tokyo. I wasn't really aware of this at all till I came here. Just all these little islands that are just super packed with apartment buildings and businesses and stuff. And just all these little bridges between them. It's just neat. But anyway, I tried to cut a shortcut over to this bridge. All right, I'm just stop there. This is too loud. What do you think you're doing? Man, the delicious ginger mackerel at 7-Eleven is kind of messing me up, because on this other little island, which is a little more industrially, not as nice as Tsukishima. But whatever, I mean, they're both just islands covered in streets. But I'm passing a Family Mart, and I see that there's a Lawson's down there, but it's like, I can't go to you guys, bros. I need to do 7-Eleven now. You know, where, you know, I was kind of juggling all the different convenience stores with no clear winner. I always trended a little toward 7-Eleven, but I didn't really care where I went. But yeah, just with that one item that just came out of nowhere, 7-Eleven is now ludicrously in the lead. I love that thing so much. I'm imagining eating it right now. But anyway, yeah, I thought doing all this island hopping, I was like, oh, you know, I'll just do a little shortcut. If the bridge is over there, there's this nice park, little green line on the map along the edge of the water, so I can walk along the edge and get to the bridge and it'll be all good. Of course it didn't work. Shortcuts never work. There's no such thing as a shortcut in Japan. Or if there are, they're hyper-specific. What's the word for like a boutique thing? They're artisanal. You know, you gotta find the specific shortcut for the specific place. In general, it's not gonna happen. So of course this didn't happen. It was a nice walk, it was very pretty, but it just, you know, it's just hit a dead end after dead end. Loop around here, loop around here, loop around here. When I got back to the main street, I was two blocks away from where I started. And I'm like, what the heck? How's that even possible? That's friggin' weird. I just went nowhere. But while I was going nowhere, there was one point where there were these kids at the bottom of these steps where the two older kids had scooters and they weren't having too hard of a time, but the littlest kid had a normal bicycle. And these were just steps that didn't have any like little ramp for your bike, which they often have here, but not at just some random little seaside park. And this poor little kid was just trying so hard to get this bike up. It was never gonna happen. So one of the older kids put her scooter down and went down to help, and they were both just getting nowhere. So that's where my mighty random guy wandering around somewhere where he's not supposed to be powers came to the fore, where I was like, hey, do you need some help? Let me just grab that. Just picked it up, doop, doop, doop. Walked it up the stairs, and they all just said, thank you. So I was like, no problem. My littlest hobo journey, my quest for the day is done. My detour to nowhere helped some kids get a bike up some stairs. Not the most helpful thing I've ever done in my life, but probably in the mid. I'm not that helpful of a person. I don't know how many people I've really helped in the world. So that's solidly in the middle of things that I've done that were useful to somebody. You know, one thing I see all the time too, just on like pictures and YouTube and stuff, it might seem kind of weird to walk to this Team Labs place when I really don't have any intention of even going in. But I keep seeing a giant Gundam pop up everywhere, a big Gundam statue. And I feel like it's near there. That is the vague memory that I have. I've never watched Gundam, but you know, I'm familiar with the concept of a giant robot. Like most things, I guess it falls into that middle zone of like, well, I don't think I would like go out of my way to go there. I'm not gonna chart a course on the trains to get to this thing. But if it's right by where I already am and I'm just walking around, I mean, I don't not wanna see it. So let's see, in the long lineage of making up quests for myself, let's see how the quest for the giant Gundam goes. Alongside associated mini quest, find a 7-Eleven with soy ginger mackerel. And in fact, the even smaller quest from there, because I figured I would just get a drink at that point. But it's really taken some time to find a 7-Eleven. So I was like, ah, fuck it. You know, if I got one more coffee in me in the day, I think it's safe. while the sun is still up. It's a good rule of thumb. If I do want to dehydrate a little so I don't pee all night, just stop drinking stuff once the sun goes down. So the sun's not quite down yet. But I haven't found a single drink machine. What the hell's going on here? That's a truly bizarre experience. The only other time I remember that happening is the neighborhood. I mean, I probably skirted around it in Ginza. I think it is around there somewhere. But when I walked around the outside of the Imperial Palace in 2019, I haven't been back there this time, but I noticed that it's like this fancy business neighborhood I ended up in that did not have drink machines. It felt kind of European all of a sudden, or like a Western city. I think that's the vibe they were going for, and in order to attain that vibe, you can't have drink machines everywhere. So for some reason, I mean, that one kind of made sense right by Tokyo Station and stuff, but for some reason, this little island, why? I'm like up on a bridge now. I'm looking down at a ball field and a pretty long stretch of seaside park. I don't know, maybe parks like that don't have drink machines. I guess I haven't really been paying attention to that. Maybe that's not so weird. And I did walk right past a couple Family Marts and a Lawson's that I could have gone into. It's my own fault, but it's just weird is all. It's like, normally it's like that Simpsons joke where the hot dog vendor follows Homer around because he always is willing to buy a hot dog, even at like a funeral. You just expect that you just put your hand out, fumble around blindly with money in your hand, and you'll probably accidentally vend yourself a fucking drink. But right now, nothing. Man, this is really nice. The view from this bridge is really cool, even though part of it is just a big construction crane gangbang. The traffic is very intermittent. It's actually really quiet right now, even though this is like a super mega millions of fucking lanes bridge. Maybe that's why it's quiet, because there's so many lanes they can diffuse the traffic. Where exactly the frig am I? Let's see. So I'm on the Harumi Ohashi Bridge, leaving Harumi and heading to Toyosu, where Team Lab Planets is. Yeah, it's kind of a pretty walk. I don't hate this. So I guess my previous advice of don't walk to Tokyo Bay, that's true. That stands true. But if you take the westerly route, a little bit west, and weave your way through these islands, then it ain't so bad. It's actually kind of nice. Hey, there's the sky tree behind me. And there's a nice little above ground train going by. Because I'm not quite sure how I'm going to escape from this particular adventure, but I could just hop on the train again. It's a pretty delightful little part of Tokyo overall. I didn't know how much play I would get out of being near the sky tree. I was just like, I don't know. I'm vaguely familiar with that neighborhood a little teeny bit. Let's just try it out and see how it goes. And it's not bad. Not bad at all. And that's convenient because there's a crap ton of hotels and Airbnbs and hostels and stuff around here. Well, I finally found a coffee machine. I actually feel kind of lucky. It's like, it was kind of the only one. It's like, shit, glad I found that. The two best coffees of the day, the first one and the last one. Because it is 4:41. I did hear a approximately 5 o'clock-ish song play earlier. Again, just coming from the heavens, coming from nowhere. Although I have made a rod for my own back with this 7-Eleven thing. Because it seems like between here and the Gundam statue, there's like 2 Family Marts. Whatever, I'm not even that hungry. I gorged on Yamazaki bread earlier. The longer you wait, the better food tastes. But as this goes on, it's definitely becoming more and more that terrible walk I had yesterday of just the horrible traffic gangbang down by Tokyo Bay. This is definitely becoming that. Like, there was a pretty long stretch where I was trapped underneath the above ground highway, one of the bridges, just very loud. Still kind of pretty, though. Then I crossed the mega super duper crazy highway, It kind of reminds me of the whole vibe of this. I haven't been to Florida in a long time. I mean, I guess I stopped by in 2009 to get on a cruise. I was there for a second. But the last time I visited with family was the late 90s. So, I mean, my memories are vague, but that's what this feels like. Great big super mega highways, coastally. There's even some palm trees and shit around here. But yeah, this walk, I finally got to like a park, thank God. Because it was a long stretch where I'm like, I'm definitely taking the train to get out of here. It's becoming a lot less pleasant. Even from here, I mean, I'm quite a ways away, but I mean, I feel like you can probably hear that traffic is just a roar quite clearly. Because I'm still looking at like, man, it's like, I always just think of the Jetsons. I don't know. It's my futuristic, just there's like the big highway and then there's a ramp coming from one direction and a ramp coming from another direction and yet another ramp that goes even higher and loops over the two of them. It's just like fucking overpass city over there. But luckily, I found this park that I think should take me most of the way there, if not all of the way there, without having to deal with all that. And there's something on the way called the Dream Bridge. So with the sun going down and the beautiful orange and purple vibes on the horizon, though I can't see them that well because of all the buildings, but that Dream Bridge better blow my fucking dick off. It's gonna be cool as shit, I assume. But yeah, as I got across the bridge, the first thing I saw in Toyosu was Toyosu Pit. And there was a bunch of people milling around outside that were all dressed very cool, very cool stuff. But I couldn't at all figure out what Toyosu Pit is. Maybe I'll think to look it up later, maybe I won't. But if I had to guess, as I gandered at the people, I'm guessing it must be like a concert. It must be a venue. And I was thinking that would be a cool thing to do. Like, it's fun just to go to a movie when you don't know what it's about. It's a hard thing to do. It's quite a rare thing to be able to just go not know anything. And it's kind of a fun experience. So I was thinking it'd be really cool to just go see a band and not know anything about the band. Just to see cool people milling around and just go stand in the line and just go see. But I don't know how. I did watch a video once by Ginger Gaiden is the name of her channel. This girl, Kira, where she described the etiquette of going to a concert in Japan, and it's a lot more regimented, not totally unsurprisingly. Instead of everybody just showing up and doing whatever, and it's just the kind of the big free-for-all like North America, it's a lot more regimented of you got your ticket, you got everything set up, you stand in the line. Even during the show, everything's kind of set up quite properly, and like here's the place where you buy the merch, and then after it's done, everybody just leaves, and like she had a really good time, but she said it really was a different feeling. It's like that too for conventions and stuff. You're not supposed to show up to the convention dressed in your cosplay clothing. There's a specific area where you get changed at the convention. And just, yeah, everything is a lot more regimented and less freeform. So the idea of just rolling into a random Japanese concert, I don't know how that would even work. But it would be fucking cool to just be like, I don't know who this artist is, I don't know what this music's gonna be like, I don't know anything. I would enjoy trying that, that'd be cool. But the idea that I just could is unlikely, because then the very next thing, right next door to that, was the Team Labs place. And I really am like out of touch with how reality works. Where I'm like, well, I don't know, maybe I would go. I don't really even think I would want to go. I don't really care, blah, blah, blah. Like, I need to be convinced to go? These fucking businesses and stuff, they don't care. They don't care if I want to go or not. They're happy if I don't. They're more than happy with me not going because it's busy as shit. That place had a huge line of people just waiting to go in. So I don't even know how that process works. I don't know how much it costs. I really didn't look into it because who cares? If I'm that wishy-washy about it anyway, I'm definitely not waiting in line. That's just not, I mean, I'm just not gonna go to that. That's not my thing. I'm not the target audience for that. But yeah, from anything from a internationally relatively well-known thing like the Team Labs exhibit to just a random little candy shop in the outskirts of Fukuoka, the world is spinning just fine without me. Nobody needs my patronage. Nobody cares what I think about shit at all. And I just keep being reminded of that over and over. Like, Why even bother having an opinion? Who cares? Doesn't matter. Couldn't go if I wanted to go. So good. The end. But yeah, then I checked the map and I'm like, okay, if I go another island over, that's where the Gundam is. And again, I don't care about the stupid fucking Gundam. I don't care about the Gundam store. I think there's like the smaller version of the Statue of Liberty's over here somewhere too. It's just an excuse. Just an excuse to walk here. I'll just go see the stuff. Same as it ever was. I don't actually care. I just need an excuse to go do a thing. And it's not that I actively don't care. I don't know. Whatever. I like to have low-level experiences, but it doesn't matter what they are. I guess that's the best way to put it. It's good to have a target. It's good to have a goal. And then what that goal is, who gives a shit? Ooh, and actually seems like I got a bit of a ways ahead of me to get there. A lot of hotels around here. I guess this is all Disney adjacent. That must be with all these above-ground monorails. I assume that's probably where they mostly go. But yeah, like I was saying, I mean, I feel like this does pop up a lot on YouTube. I mean, I'm aware of the Gundam robot for some reason. I've seen the Statue of Liberty thing. This does seem like a pretty popular touristy type area. But where Akihabara really won me over, where I'm like, yeah, is it really worth it coming here? And then after like an hour, I was like, oh yes, it is actually. It's amazing. This place is actually really fun and cool. I feel like this place really is just tourist stuff. It's just tourist trap shit. This is like kind of lame. Tsukishima Island with its Tullys. I liked that one because, what a nice little island. It's got a coffee shop on it. It's got a cool view where you can see the Tokyo Tower and the Skytree. And then as I get further away, it just becomes more crowded, more busy, more loud, more traffic, more hotels, more tourist traps. Whatever. This is not my thing. And you can't see the bay at all. I've never had a good view of the water. Not once. Because it's all fucking buildings everywhere. It's like, how are you supposed to see this shit? I don't understand. I don't know what you're, like, the bay might as well not be there. Fucking Chiba got a better view of the bay than this. Yeah, I think my overall review of just the waterfront in Tokyo in general is that it sucks. It's just built up shit. And that's not at all unique to Tokyo, because, like, I'd say the same thing with, like, Toronto. Try to walk along the waterfront of Lake Ontario in Toronto, good fucking luck. You know, you can walk for short stretches and then just, there's a sugar refining plant. Whoops, here's a fish smeltery, here's this, here's that. It's like, fuck, this is crap. I mean, it's just the industrial past, I guess. All these waterfronts at one time were important to industry, but sadly, they're still like that. Sadly, we've not yet reached the point of tearing all that shit down and getting back to a nice, clean waterfront experience. Definitely, if you want that type of thing, Fukuoka is the winner by about a million. So much beautiful water there. Oh, maybe this is how you're supposed to see the bay. Here's a thing called Big Sight Tokyo. What the fuck is this shit? Tokyo Big Sight Reception Hall. Looks like it's just a big exhibition hall. Maybe you can see the bay from there, but I don't even care at this point. Who gives a shit? It's getting dark anyway. Let's just go see this Gundam and get the fuck out of here. Yeah, this is not my vibe. Definitely not my vibe. Who needs tourist shit when I can just walk around any random neighborhood anywhere and be like, oh, this is cool. You know, I don't need to be catered to, I guess. I don't like that feeling. Because it's never that impressive. It's like, what do you got to show me? A big robot? Who gives a shit? How big is it? I can't see it on the horizon. Now, if there was a fucking robot the size of the Skytree, that'd be cool. If I could see this thing from two islands away and be like, what the fuck is that? But it's not big like that. You know, I just realized it's funny how sometimes, inadvertently, like little themes develop within an episode, even though I'm just walking around randomly yammering. That thing I was just saying this morning about the stupid brown sugar latte from the Star vending machine. How much I like that drink, just almost purely because it's a weird drink that you don't see all the time. Because at the end of the day, it's just sugar coffee. It is pretty tasty. But nothing to write home about. It's just like a cool thing that I found. And now this is like the bigger version. If it's just like a thing, that you're supposed to know about and you're supposed to care about and everybody goes to. I just don't give a sweet fuck. I just don't like it. That feels weird to me. I don't like that feeling. Where if I just go to some stupid random place no one else cares about in the whole fucking world, then I'm like, whoa, I found a thing. This is so cool. Anyway, let's curtail this complaining. Because I found a motherfucking 7-Eleven. Maybe they got the mackerel deal. They did not have my super preferred fancy mackerel thing at 7-Eleven. But I realized I had to get something. I'm clearly getting hangry up in this bitch. So I just got this little onigiri that was sardines and Japanese pepper, which I had never seen before. And it was real tasty. And the sardines, little teeny fish in here. Not like our version of North American sardines. And I think maybe that thing I had in Chiba at the izakaya, it was like ground up daikon with little fish in it, and then you pour soy sauce on top. I think maybe those were sardines as well. They looked extremely like this. But yeah, it was very tasty. Now I feel better. But yeah, I'm at the Dream Bridge. It's just a bridge, whatever. Yeah, like now the sun has gone down, all the lights are on, and I still feel nothing. Yeah, this place is just, it really is just, hey, we got this kind of fucked up fucking shoreline area that was all just industrial cranes and highways. Let's desperately try to turn it into a tourist town. And I mean, I guess they did it. I guess they pulled it off. But yeah, even now that the lights are all on, I just feel like everywhere else I've been in Tokyo looks awesome at night. And this is just like, whatevs, man. Dream Bridge, eh? Dreams of mediocrity. I don't know, I just don't like this area. Feels uncomfortable. Tourist land is not for me, so at this point I'm just repeating myself over and over. But yeah, I'm like, where is this goddamn Gundam? I want to see the Gundam and the fucking Statue of Liberty and get the hell out of here. But it's a lot longer than it seemed. I guess those overpasses in the distance, they look a little bit cool now that the lights are on, because they just have some utilitarian lights around the edges. I mean, there's just something kind of fundamentally neat about a road that just drives up into the sky. That's kind of cool. This is kind of surprisingly boring. These lights on this bridge are just lights. It's like, all right, you did it, I guess. Why the fuck would you call it the Dream Bridge if it's just a bridge? It's very wide for a pedestrian bridge. That's kind of nice. But yeah, something tells me a giant robot is not going to be remotely enough to turn around my vibe check on this neighborhood. So the least I can do is stop fucking yammering about it. Let me just shut up till I get to the statue and we can wrap this bad boy up. All right, well, I guess I'd say this actually kind of worked out. I'm ultimately glad that I came here for all of my belly aching toward the end of this particular adventure. I'm glad I got here at night, because now that I'm at the actual end of the trail, nighttime helps a lot, like crazy. So the giant robot, I mean, it's pretty big. You know, thumbs up to the giant robot. I do think it's actually worth coming to see, because just a great big fucking Gundam, great big robot standing there, and it's all lit up and it looks really cool. I don't know how much there is to say about it. It's just a giant robot, but it is really cool. And then behind it is a mall. I went in briefly, but I was just like, yeah, it's just a mall. What am I doing here? And it is a little strange as you leave, as you distance yourself, and you realize, like, it is a little strange that the mall directly behind this robot is much bigger than the robot. You know, the robot seems really big when you're next to it. You're like, fuck, and you're imagining, like, imagine if you were really piloting that, or, you know, is the saving the earth, has to fight stuff, whatever. And then as you get further back, it's like, geez, if this robot had to demolish that building, it would have a very hard time of it. There'd be no Godzilla smashy smashy going on here. This robot's not big enough. But I mean, it is really big still. And I guess there's no way, I don't know, I guess you could have made it further from the building. I think they probably did the right thing. Put it right by the mall. You know, don't make people go too far out of their way to see it. But if it had been in like a field or something, it really would have felt big. But hey, it's still big, man. I'm not saying it's not big. It's a real big robot. It's pretty good. The Statue of Liberty, it's just a tiny Statue of Liberty. I don't know what the fuck that's all about. It's kind of weird. However, come to the Statue of Liberty anyway, because directly behind it is a really good view. Like a real good view of a great big bridge heading out across the water to Tokyo proper, to central Tokyo. And it looks so good. All the buildings lit up in the distance and just the water in front, and there's all the boats in the water. It's just kind of weirdly arranged so that you can see the sky tree, but it's smaller at this distance than some of the buildings. So it's just sort of like, oh yeah, there's the sky tree. It doesn't actually stand out in this particular skyline. But this is truly a gorgeous view, man. It is really fucking beautiful. It's, you know, I'm not going to say it's better than the robot, because the robot in its own way is really good, but it's equal to the robot. This view is really good. And they're both way better than the Statue of Liberty. I don't know what's up with that thing. It's quite small. It's smaller than I thought it was going to be. But who cares? Who cares? Right behind it, I looked beyond the Statue of Liberty to its 22-year-old daughter, Lily. That's a ham-fisted Simpsons reference, if there ever were one. Yeah, and also there's a subway right here. So I do think that's what I'm going to do, because there is like a walk along the shore. If I were here in the day, I think I would experiment with the walk along the shore. It might be okay, but looking at the little local maps and stuff, I don't know that it... I think I might just be putting myself in for another long, weird walk to get out of here, and I don't want to do that. It's getting really cold, actually. It's really windy. And yeah, I mean, I got to the end. It very much feels like the end of a quest. You see the robot, you see the amazing view. Should you be in the mood, you got a gigantic mall. that if the mall transformed into a robot, then you'd be in for some shit. If you like malls, it's a big fucking mall. Yeah, this view is fucking good. This is real good. Actually, I guess that would be the best thing, maybe. What if they swapped places? What if they just took the Statue of Liberty and tossed it in the garbage? Who cares about that? And what if they just put the robot where the Statue of Liberty is? So then you see the robot in front of the big view. Now that would be nice. That's what I would put. The ballot I would put in the hat for rearranging the area. But yeah, no, this is fucking really cool. Because I guess all those like bridges that I walked across to get here, like now they're all in the distance and they're all lit up and they're all fucking really cool looking. And this one mega bridge right here that I don't even know if pedestrians are allowed on that thing, but I wouldn't fucking do it. Christ, it would take you an hour to walk across that bridge. It's fucking enormous. So ultimately thumbs up. Ultimately it all worked out. Thank you for fighting through my crankiness. Maybe I literally was just hungry, man. I think that might have been it. It's a little loud, you know, a lot of overpasses. I wasn't like excited about the destination because I wasn't even sure what it was. I just had like the vague sort of like, isn't there a big robot over there somewhere, whatever. So I guess I wasn't like spurred forward. And maybe I just needed some food in my little belly welly because I was very cranky boy. But it all worked out. It was fucking cool in the end. This view is fucking insane. And the big robot is a big robot. All right. Thank you for listening. Hopefully I'll see you next episode. I go to fucking Abaya.